You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy. We must be cautious.
Galactic Colonel! Welcome to the Scum and Villainy Podcast. I'm your host, Richard White, better known as Kelvin Tiberius, ship's captain. Joining me today is the ship's cook, Starslinger 72. What's up, Tyler? Lesser known as Tyler Tippett. I'm already doing it backwards. What's up, Tyler?
What's going on, guys? How's everybody doing out there?
Also joining us today is the ship's designated driver, Will Barnacle, better known as misspelled Bill Barnacle. What's going on now, Will?
Hey, not much.
So it's the three of us, so I guess it's like the Midwest, like Scum and Villainy Midwest, Chicago, or you guys aren't Chicago, you guys are Peoria in Kansas City, middle of nowhere. It's great.
Yeah, close enough.
I mean, at least like it could be in the middle of Iowa. And you're not wrong. It'd be truly nowhere.
To be fair, I think OCX is to the west of Iowa, but it's still also the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. So guys, we're gonna talk about some stuff today. We're gonna do some news. We're gonna talk about Roger, and we're gonna jump into some lists. I am gonna tell you guys though that let me lead off with before I get into the news that. Honest to goodness, like it's been a hard couple of weeks for ye old Kelvin Tiberius, right? Having to move, like, and not expecting to move, like, there's a leak in our apartment, and that kind of sucks, right? It's been crazy busy, haven't got a chance to play a lot of X-Wing because of the holidays and stuff. What should be the worst thing is I applied for a job and I don't think I got it, right? So like I'm having just the worst couple of days. But do you guys want to know what is the actual worst out of any of this for me?
What's that?
I feel, yeah, you're gonna tell us anyway, so go ahead.
So we're gonna jump into news. I am 0-for in the Aces League. I think I'm 0-for-5 right now. Like, I haven't gotten one win, and it's just it's so bad. I'm just so sad about this.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, that does seem like that would be the worst out of that combo.
Yeah. Ugh. It's like so sad. So the Aces League is happening. I'm not going to complain too bad about my awful, awful record other than, you know, like I can't even blame the dice. Like I can point to decisions I made in every single game I've played so far and go, oh yeah, that was when I lost the game right there with that decision. And knowing that stuff afterwards just makes it worse. It doesn't make it better. It makes it a lot worse.
To be fair, you also had a lot of close games too. So
yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying, right? I've had really close games and I'm able to point to this was the dumb decision I made that turned this close game into a loss, like every single time. It's awful.
Well, Captain, this is the process of polishing coal into a diamond. So
sure, right. Ugh. Anyway, so you all are doing a little bit better than I am. Will, you are currently 2-3, right?
Yeah, I lost my gaming as Chris last night. Yeah, so 2-3.
Yeah, that being said, you have like your points differential is better than even like some of the people who have like more wins than you do. You have one of the better points differentials, so at least you've got some, you got a little bit working for you when it comes to tiebreakers.
Yeah, my game against Morgan was awful, but it was combo, you know, awful because I was losing my modem as the game was going on. So I was constantly losing connection. So I was doing some turns and some moves like 3-4 times.
Oh boy.
So anyone who is trying to watch that game, I apologized on Facebook, but I'll do it again here. I'm like, that game was just a complete trash show. And I felt awful because, you know, Morgan's overseas and it's the one opportunity we can get the game in before the holidays, and here right. My modem is constantly going in and out. So that game, I only ended up got 36 points off Morgan. His little bomber just wouldn't die, and I was just playing like crap. So yeah, other than that, I only lost by, on the final shot against Travis, got half points on Elo, and I lost by like, what, 7 points? And then my game last night against Chris, like, just saw a lot of blanks and some situations, and it was a good game, good fun game. But yeah, I still kind of had a little bit of fun that I've flown that 4 X-Wing list like 14, 15 times, something like that now.
You're just like, screw it. I'm just going to do this rebel list that everyone says is jank, but I keep beating people with whatever. It's right. Fine.
Tyler, you'll be happy. You are the only person that has actually successfully killed Wedge when I have flown that list.
Yeah.
So I just find humor in that. So
it's fair.
So Tyler, you're actually in second place right now at 4-2.
Yeah. Doing pretty all right.
Yeah. So my favorite thing that you've flown the, cause everybody's been, like after you started doing the triple Upsilon list, right? Like, that's like, it's sort of been like a pocket like phenomenon that like X-Wing players are trying it out right now. You're 1-1 with it. So what do you think about it so far? I think it's hilarious. Also a little like brutal too.
So I've talked about this online a couple places. I lost to Ryan Farmer, in the second time I dropped the list. And a huge reason that I lost in that game was I was under the impression that Tabson was in it too. And so if you even go back to a couple of casts where I was talking about it, that's I was implying that, and that's very much not true. Tabson is in it three. So like I found out
part of this is like you've been playing this, like how many games did you play with that list before?
I had zero with the Tabson variant. I had played a number of with the double Starkiller. But so I deploy everything and it deploys it in init six, right? Because of hyperwave. So that's my deployment goes down just fine. That's no big deal. And also they load into vassal at init two. Like Tabson was incorrectly in vassal at init two, not init three. So I drop all three of them down. And then Ryan's like, hey, which one's your init three guy? I was like, what are you talking about? They're all two. And he's like, no, I think Tabson's three. And then I go look at the card and I'm like, oh, okay, man. And so that screwed up the way that they came in basically. Mm-hmm. So it was, the idea was that Tabson would move forward and then the Starkiller would run into the back of him. And then Dormitz just comes in and hangs out.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, the Starkiller goes, and then Tabson's in the back of the Starkiller. And so it just kind of, it adjusted where my firing arc should be, because I want a big sweep, right?
Yeah.
And I no longer had that big sweep. And that lets Ryan get on a flank of me. But the bigger issue outside of that is that the entire mid-game of the fight, I basically needed Tabson to be a two so that I could order my ships moving. So it'd be like one ship needs to get out of the way, then Tabson can take that place, or Tabson needed to get out of the way, and so the other guy would get blocked and not get all the way around on his turn, that kind of a thing. Because with those three ships, it's incredibly important to like them to be all at the same initiative value, because that's a pretty big issue with them, right? Like you're not going to get a ton of shots, like assuming you're fighting ships that can reposition, which almost everything can, you're going to have a hard time hitting things, right? Or keeping things in arc.
Yeah.
And so you need to both keep things in arc and have actions while doing so. And because of how effectively my ships were turning, I didn't. I had a lot of bad shots that I was taking, is basically what it boils down to.
Right.
So
either way, you're still in second, though, which is pretty damn good.
Yeah. So other than that, my TIE Swarm's 2-0. I had the one tight game with the triple Upsilons against Paul. There was a very, very tight game, which I think that game ended how a lot of them will end up ending, which was it's late in the game and I have a basically undamaged Upsilon versus a single ship, and then you don't have time to kill it through reinforce.
Yeah, right? You're effectively taking maybe one damage a turn.
Yeah, exactly. Or as we found out, because it was an SF, so it was a two dice gun trying to hit me, and I'm moving with three banks and then reinforcing. So I have large ship move, three bank, and like you get the evade roll. Like you're still rolling an evade die, right? So you're 12 hit points behind a reinforce and an evade and an agility.
Yeah.
So there were turns where I just didn't take damage. Yeah, I think he had 8 turns at the remainder of the game, and I had 10 hit points, and he needed to kill me. So we knew it couldn't happen. We just wondered how quick he would get, and he actually didn't get through my shields.
All right, so I do want to bring up. You guys have both talked about playing Morgan. I played Morgan, a couple of days ago, and
we
lost
played Morgan
also.
The same day.
Yeah,
we both lost to him in the same day.
Yeah, like so, like at this point, man, like how freaking. Like it was, is this meant to be or something?
Oh,
like,
I'll get him in playoffs. I never lose to a person twice in the same tournament, so it's fine.
Let's face it. Like the second, like he jumped, he's not lost a Aces League game at all yet at all. Yeah. Right. Like, because he won the play in and he's now won 6 in a row.
Yep.
And God,
he's got a good list, but it's also a very good list for Morgan. Cause Morgan is one of the best positional ace players that I've ever seen play and know. Right. Mm-hmm. Like he has that. I know where he's that joking person that plays 3 moves ahead. Like it's not that he knows where you're going to be 3 moves ahead, but he knows where he can be and he won't put himself in a position where he can't get to there. And he's playing ships that all effectively have double reposition, right? He's got 2 A-wings and Poe, and then he's got an extra pocket T-70 that's just there and hits hard, right? Like you have to spend time killing it.
So it's funny that you mentioned Poe. That's the one thing that I've been surprised of when it comes to some of the lists that have been chosen is I've seen so much more Poe than Kylo, right? At least it feels that way.
Yeah, probably.
Now, is that just because is that just because of the strength of like Lulo and you know the what is it, the resistance bomber? Like Poe has better buddies, or
I'm not sure.
Okay,
I actually think it might be that since the A-wing is such kind of like a brand new shiny toy, I think people are just trying to play around with it more, where everything on the First Order side is almost kind of familiar and known a little bit.
Yeah, sure. Well,
and that A-wing is stupid cheap.
Yeah, you know, I've flown around with it now a little bit. The problem is I've got all these ships now. I've got resistant. You want to know the worst part? This is a true fucking statement, and I'm so embarrassed about this. I have resistance A-wings in the box. Like I have them and I haven't even opened them yet.
Yep.
So I've played with them a couple of times on Vassal and they're really interesting though. Like the things that they can do, it's fun that you get when you fly A-wings, like most of the time you get that one kill box, but that's like good. But the rest of the time it's going to be just a crapshoot of whatever. This lets you do that one more time. Because of the rear arcs. And I think that that's worth a lot for them.
Oh, it's not one more time, man. The uptime on their shooting is real high.
Yeah, it's real good, right? It's really good. Yeah. Because you can do whatever you want. Like, you can get your front or your back to face something with an A-wing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, as I found out trying to chase down A-wings with Fen Rao, it sure sucks when my title and my fearless don't trigger because I'm shooting you in the butt, even though you're still shooting me.
Yeah, that's a little ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, just the fact that they can, you know, rotate to the rear, turn away from things, or make things chase you while still getting the 2-die shots, so you just kind of have that constant pressure of attack dice, I think is what really makes them sing. And it's fun. Like, they're unique, they're new, they feel, like, good. The dial is, like, silly bonkers good.
The 3-bank that's blue.
I mean, it's the old silencer dial.
Right, which we already knew that was the best dial in the game in 1.0, right? So now they have the best dial in 2.0, right? So it's cool. I haven't put them on the table yet because I haven't gotten my my wave 2 is still delayed. I got to check what the heck's going on with that. But I've been looking at them a little bit. They look fun.
So yeah, it's been fun so far. I'm glad we're doing the league again. So that's a little bit of news.
It's got me playing on Vassal again. And
I've had a lot of good learning moments.
Well, like I said, I've watched a couple of your games too. Like you haven't got blown out by people. Like
no,
they've been good in close games. Like okay,
that's the thing that keeps bothering me is I feel like it upsets me that like if I spent just a little bit more time. On playing like maybe one list or perfecting that sort of thing that I would, that it would go better for me. But I want to, like, I want to play a bunch of stuff. Like, it's hard for me to simultaneously pick a list that I'm going to play and play into the ground. That's how I normally get good, is I just play one list for forever, because I don't have the time. I don't have the time to check out new lists.
You're talking to a guy that played Racklo for like a year and a half, if not close to 2 years.
Yeah, right.
I get you, brother. I get you. Yeah,
but I don't have the time to figure out what that list is and practice it. And I kind of want to check stuff out. So it's sort of like a horrible balance of that. But I'm, I don't know. It's okay. I'm not going to go too bad into it. I'm a little salty about it. But I don't know. Like the games have been close, and that's the hard part, is I've been in them every single time, but there've been a mistake or two that I've made that just took a game that was close and separated it, or took a game that I was ahead and made it a 50-50 shot that I ended up losing.
Yeah.
You know, it's that sort of stuff. Like,
I don't know. Got the back half of the league, man. Just run the back half. You'll be fine.
Yeah. Here's the problem. I mentally thought I was going to beat three people, right? I thought to myself that I was going to beat you, right?
I don't know why you thought that, but that's fine.
Look, I thought it was going to be, I thought that the story was going to be good enough that I was going to get some luck, some karma, right? I just wanted to think positive thoughts, right?
That's fair. Okay.
I thought I was going to beat Chris because of the same reason.
Have you played Chris yet?
Not yet. I play him this week.
You've got a chance.
I know, it's a coin flip. Whoever's going to get player two is going to win that.
I mean, you have null with.
Yeah, I've got.
You have player two automatically.
Yeah, but fine. Yeah, I think that I've got a shot there, but I've thought that every single week, which is fun. I thought I was going to beat Chris, and I thought I was going to beat Paul, because Paul screws around a little bit, and I've at least got a 500 record with him, right? Like, I thinking positive thoughts. Yeah, I'm 1-1-1 with him, right? So I'm thinking positive thoughts, and now, like, it's just hopefully I can get to 100 points. Like, that's been my goal, is I can fight it out, and it's taught me at least a little bit about continuing to play games. That's something that I've not done. In reality, like, it saves MOV in a tournament if you continue to play games and get your points that you can get. So that's at least taught me a little bit about that. Anyway, so that's sad again.
I still believe you need three games out of your back half. I need two games out of my back half to hit six wins.
I also thought I'd beat Farmer, right? And Farmer got me too. Yeah, I said you were gonna win six. And
Farmer got me.
Yeah,
he's the dark horse of the tournament. He's 4-2 as well, right?
Yeah, he is 3-2.
Oh,
yeah, he's 3-2.
Well, he'll be 4-2, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, who's he playing this week?
I don't know.
Yeah, he's been doing pretty damn good too.
Yeah.
So props to Farmer. All right, so let's talk about some news, and not about how I'm winless in the Aces League. The system open in Arizona is happening soon, and there has been sort of a, like, as usual with FFG, like a little bit of a kerfuffle about.
Well, I don't know about kerfuffle. Like, let's be real here.
What's your word for this?
Well, I mean, I think FFG has been FFG, and they've actually went above and beyond and gave us a heads up. So referring to the fact that, like, today, like, They dropped an announcement on FFG OP's Twitter, which you all should be subscribed to if you want to be tournament people, because that's where they give you all your information. They came out and said, hey, our points update is going to be on Monday the 28th, I think?
Yeah.
It's the Monday after the Arizona System Open. Yeah, Monday the 28th.
Yeah.
So, like, everybody that's going to the System Open, which I will be flying out, Blair is flying down, and Sosin is flying down. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have a three-pack Scum and Villainy team there, ready to crush some dreams and win some invites to Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
But we all know now that event is going to be under the current points set that we've been playing with for the last, 6 months or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So, okay. Now, a lot of people were hoping that this would be the first System Open that had the new points. Right? I appreciate that. Like, it's fine. I get why you want that. That's not where we are, but we do know going forward. Okay, cool. So that means, hey, the System Open is we play with old points and we get to play with the nonsense that can keep showing up. We have the old hat lists that have been doing really well and are very powerful, like Boba Fett and Pelob or Redline Whisper Fell or Dash. And then we have two new factions. So those two new factions getting thrown in there are going to cause some strife, right? Like they might, there could be something from Resistance that shows up and man, Redline just can't handle it. I don't know what that is. It's possible, right?
Yeah.
So we can see some new stuff that comes out. So for everybody that is going using current point lists, let's have some fun. That's pretty much it. We've got an extended event on Saturday and then it finishes up on Sunday. And if you don't make the second or the third wave, then you can play in the hyperspace qualifier, which is a hyperspace event. So you can get to play with the more limited ship pool if that's what you like. It's annoying because that means I have to bring two lists just because I can't assume that I'm going to make day two. So,
Just fly hyperspace legal for both.
Hey, you're not wrong, man. You're not wrong. So, but yeah, that's what's going on with Arizona. It'll be a great time. I'm rather annoyed at Arizona right now because it is like 20 degrees in Illinois where Will and I live. We've had 45 mile an hour winds the last 2 days.
Sure.
So it's been a little cold. And I was like, man, we're going to Arizona. Sozin was our boarding guy and he found an awesome house that has a bunch of bedrooms. So we've got some other guys from the Northwest that are coming down with us and we've got a pool and like a grill and all this cool outdoor stuff. Like we've got this great pad that we're hanging out at. And I think it's going to be too cold to swim because like, if I could get some warm weather for 2 days where I just got to like hang out in a pool,
even if you can grill outside,
I'm super in. So I don't know. It's cause it's been roughly 60 there right now, which 60 is great. Don't get me wrong. It's just, I was hoping for 80 and I was going to jump into a pool.
So there's been a little bit of feedback. The negative feedback for FFG not doing the points before the system open. I think that something you alluded to is that, like, in grand scheme of things, this is actually a marked improvement because we know going in what the points are going to be for the tournament. Whereas a lot of times we didn't know when they were going to do points, and it led to in both a bad way, in which we knew that they were going to make a change and they didn't do it, to even going back to a points change is coming up and people having unfair advantages. Now we know when they're going to change it. And before then, we're going to have tournaments that are, you know, like the old system or whatever.
Yeah. Like I said, the only like this. Like, I understand wanting to have new points for the events, but we at least know. And so, like, I personally have not been practicing for this event because I'm just like, I'm not going to put in time if all the points are going to change or it's crap that I can't use, right? Like,
yeah, but now you can practice.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is now I can practice. That's a positive.
So that's worth something. Even if, like, I would prefer that they have the new system, the new points for the tournament. But, you know, whatever. Maybe they haven't finished playtesting them yet. I don't know. I don't know where they're at, so I don't...
I 100% believe that they absolutely have the points done because they are not going to be fine tuning two freaking weeks out.
Yeah, right? But still, like, you gotta get approval at certain times, right? Like they have to go through a process.
That's borderline sure, but it's almost 100% to me. They were like, hey, we don't know when we can put it out, like, because we, you know, like, because you have the approval stuff, right? So it's like, maybe we can put it out this week, maybe we can put it out next week. You know what? We're throwing our hands up in the air, and we're not going to put it out before the open.
Right. Either way, it's...
You know what I'm saying? Fine. Like, so that's the yes, because it's like, hey, fine. We could get it out, but they don't want to put it out the week of, right? Mm-hmm. Because... in theory, that points update takes effect immediately. It's not like new ships getting released and there's 11 days, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a thing. So there you go.
So I'm not going to ask you what you would fly. I'm going to give you like whatever Blair thinks is like, you know, competitive advantage or whatever. But Will, she's probably right. Will, if you could fly something into this tournament, what would you fly?
Hyperspace legal or non hyperspace?
No, well, so for the extended, so the main event is extended.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So for extended, Well, I'm like a bit of a unique snowflake in that I fly just ships that I like to fly. So the stuff that I fly, I'm well aware is not necessarily the be all end all S tier, maybe not even A tier. I've been having a lot of fun, you know, with my four, you know, X-wing lists with, you know, Biggs and Selfless helping to spread some damage around and just using fundamental X-wing to play. But with now Resistance and First Order out in the wild, for extended, there's some combos on both sides of those that I think are fun, and they technically work for both hyperspace and extended, because other than what biohexacrypt codes, everything for both those factions is legal.
Well, there's EPTs as well, but yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the I
faction specific thing is biohexa bullcrap codes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I guess that's fair. I think there is some interesting stuff you can do with First Order. Good question. I don't know. Since I'm not going, I haven't really thought that far ahead.
You've also been moving.
I'm not holding your foot to the fire here, right? So my suggestion, I don't know if this is the best, but this is what I'd want to do if I was going, would be, I think you can fit this. It's Atreus Swarm with Mining Ties in the Outer Rim Pioneer, right?
Yeah, we talked about this.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think's the best Dreyas Swarm right now.
Yeah, because you get you get a bunch of trick shots in there, right? Mm-hmm, and so that's good. The problem is I don't know if you can handle ace play. Like the stock Dreyas Swarm handles ace play really, really well because you have tugboats, right?
Yeah, I would never, ever get rid of tugboats.
You're saying like Dreya, two tugboats, and some trick shot mining ties?
Yeah. Like I would do, I could build
what,
it here in seven? A second.
So it's what, two tugboats, three mining ties, an Outer Rim Pioneer, and Dreya?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I buy that.
You know, like here's the thing, like it's just a little bit better than the Z95s, just a little bit. And either way, I always thought that was an incredibly powerful list, just straight up. So may as well just continue to like ride that being a really good list. I don't think that's any less good. I think that it's a little less good with bombers, but no one's really running those resistance bombers. Not enough to scare me.
Well, we don't know that, right? We haven't seen it. We haven't had a big event since they're out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Like even then, I think you can deal with bombers with a little bit of just concentrated fire, because you don't have to stay as together as like a Howlrunner Swarm does. Although certainly bombs are good against any multi-ship list.
Sure, for sure.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I was just probably what we were talking about actually before we started recording. Like I just started looking at some First Order stuff a little bit closer today, and I think there's definitely something to Squad Leader Null. That's obviously synergy, you know, defaulting up to seven with Squad Leader with perfect information.
I'm running in Ace's Week this week, actually, because he seems like so smart, because even PS0 Null's great. Cool.
Yeah.
He still gives you information. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. I'll just take advanced sensors then. Sounds cool.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, I guess I was just looking at what you could kind of fit, because he is so cheap for what he does. And I just got Midnight, a simple quick draw with Gunner and Fire Control, and then Lieutenant Tavson and the big beat stick of a shuttle. So that's $199. Like, I think that's got some merit. That's a lot of pieces, lots of stuff you could do. And then, like Tyler said, the question is, Tavson and Midnight. Does that equal what you think you could get out of Kylo? Well, that's the question. I don't know. Yeah. So,
one thing I would like to say for everybody that's listening, that's going to Phoenix, we have two new factions that dropped with a bunch of new cards, right? So never feel bad about asking for a judge if you don't understand how an interaction works, right? Like, I'm not saying like be a dick and don't like just like trust your opponent or anything like that. But if your opponent says, hey, I'm going to do thing X, like you are welcome to look at the card and read it and go like, hey, I don't think you can do that with this card. Can we ask a judge? Yes, go ask a judge. Right. Like you don't want to be that person that goes, hey, I was playing this guy and he had this resistance bomber and I didn't really know how it worked and he did a thing and I was like, oh, that seems a little weird. He's like, oh, that's how it works. And then you find out after the game, that's not how it works, right? After the game, you can't do anything about it.
Yeah, so yeah.
You're questioning, like, man, just like throw your hand up. Like they've got, I mean, it's Cascade with the system opens. We have great judges for all over the US. They travel, they do an awesome job. They'll come, they'll know what your question is and they'll get you an answer. And worst case, if they don't know how to answer it, they can make a ruling and then we can figure it out and go from there, right? So
yeah, 100%.
Like a very good example of this is the resist by Bob. So it's what used to be Crimson Specialist, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he was Fitch, right? Yeah. So before you drop a bomb, you may place it in the play area touching you instead, right? Mm-hmm. And then you also have the gunner, which is Rose. No, yes. She's just a crew. Is it Paige? No, it's Paige. I'm sorry. So you have the gunner that is the Paige that is after you perform a primary attack, you may drop a bomb or rotate your arc.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a destroyer. Okay. So those have the bomb keyword in them, which is very important. That means seismic charges, proton bombs, or bomblets. You can't drop a Connernet or a Proxmine on someone with that because those are devices. Those are not bombs.
Right, right.
Right? Yeah. So that is a very simple thing for someone to look at and go, oh, this is how I think it works, and then want to do that interaction, correct?
Yeah.
Right? Like that's a thing that'll happen. I'm sure people will mess that up. I promise. And that's not, it's not their fault. They're not like, I don't believe that there are people that are intentionally like trying to obfuscate this idea and like, no, I get to place a Proxmine on you. Up, haha, I got you. Right.
Hold up. Let me be fair. I do think that there are people that do that.
There will be a person, but it's,
I don't think,
like, I guess I stand,
it's like one person in a state or something, but still,
yeah. I stand by the concept of never assume malice when it's just equally as reasonable as like ignorance, basically, right? They read something and they go, okay, this is how I interpret it. This is the cool combo I want to do. Like, okay, right? So just ask. That's pretty much what I'm going with here. It's just, you know,
right.
Don't be afraid to ask.
Yeah. Judges are there to help you. So
yeah, exactly. So
I did look this up. For the record, I would do two Gunrunners, two of the PS1 Sentry Ties, and then Seabor. With the Outer Rim Pioneer. Seabor is the one that lets you...
jam people.
They get the jam people. Yeah.
That's fair. I guess you don't get a...
You don't get trick shots.
Nope. That's fair. What's the, that's sure.
You can only do true trick shots. And then like, you'd have to do, L337, which is also fine. I just like having Pioneer.
No, so the Pioneer, when you can ignore asteroids.
Yeah. It's so good. Yeah, it's good.
For sure. No, I get it.
Yeah. It's so good. So somewhere around there is what I'd run. Not that I matter. Like what the hell?
Cool. Like,
I've zero wins.
That is a list that if you're listening, like I would expect somebody to fly something like that. I would expect to see it. Like, yep.
Yeah, you should see Drea swarms around there and extended.
It's so good. All right. So let's talk about our main topic here. Let's get some hype up for the new Wave 3 factions. Prequels, I'm not necessarily super excited about, I guess, the subject matter, but like, I am excited to see some of these ships. Like, unironically, I am ready for droid swarms now, right? Like,
boy.
Oh my God.
Roger, let's go.
So they dropped some info on, what was it? Specifically the Boba Fett ships, Bulubabs. You've got, what are the nicknames for them, Tyler?
What are you talking about?
General Grievous.
Yeah, the Bulba something. It's Bulbasaur or Belly Rub. That's the two best names for it I've heard that I like. So I personally prefer Bulbasaur just because I think it's funny. Like, I got my Pokemon out there, it'll be okay. Mm-hmm. So you've got
the Belbulab, right? 22.
Something like that. Belbulab, yeah. Sure. Sounds fine.
Belly Rub, whatever.
Yeah. So you've got the Confederacy, right? Like, you have, it's the Trade Federation, the Techno Union, and the Retail Caucus. Never, I can't make that sound intimidating. Retail Caucus, we're coming for you.
Yeah, but I mean, if you've worked retail, that sounds terrible.
No, I have. I worked. Yes, it's a bunch of pissed off customer service. Yeah, it's a bunch of pissed off customer service people. Like, so, but anyway, so it's. I guess this is from what I've seen, because it was a cool release article, and then we have the Enter the Clone Wars article from a while back, like a month ago, a month and a half ago.
It gives you a little bit better picture of what the faction can do.
Yeah, and so one of the issues that a lot of people have voiced about these prequel factions coming out is, hey, these factions aren't going to have a lot of ships. Like, they're going to have 3 ships, 4 ships, then that's it. Can they possibly be competitive with 3 or 4 ships? So we're getting a look at the Confederacy ships here. And I think that they can, and they're going to do it in a unique way. So basically, after, you know, like, looking at what's been released, what's been, you know, spoiled or whatnot, from just a droid side, so not even including a Sith infiltrator, it looks like you're going to be able to probably get a decent number of Vulture droids, as well as backed up by a couple of these Bulbasaurs. So I think a side is going to be like 6 Vultures around 2 Bulbasaurs. So you're going to have 2 of those guys making your Vultures better. And the idea you're going to look for here is, yeah, your Vulture droid's probably like an 18-point ship, right?
Okay.
But when you have 6 of them that get to share abilities, because the Vulture droids have some cool abilities that they let their friends use, right? So there's like the initiative one guy that, if you're being shot and you're close to them, DFS 081. While a friendly ship at range 0-1 defends, it may spend 1 calculate token to change all critical results to hit results. When you've got 3 hull, critical results suck. If you're also trying to fight Kylo or some other crit using person like Merrick Steele, for example, hey, nah, they're just all hits. I'll spend a calculate token. And you may think, oh, you're spending a calculate token before you're rolling your dice.
Nah, man, that's worth
it. Well, no, A, it is worth, but you have the ability to use everybody else's calculates around you from this networked calculations. So you're gonna have a lot of calculate tokens on the table.
Right.
And so it's like, oh, I've got 6 of these robot squadron guys. I'll have 6 calculates. Ah, no, there's this Kraken upgrade, this tactical relay upgrade card that lets you keep 3 from the turn before. So on your engage turn, your 6 cheap ships could have 9 calculate tokens with lots of ways of using those 9 calculate tokens, right?
Right, yeah.
And that's going to help you kind of old school crack swarm style get a huge snowball going. Because, hey, my guys actually hit a lot harder than they should, and they're harder to kill because they have all these defensive abilities and the like.
Oh, God, man.
So, but what's cool is we have a few of these different tactical relays. We've only seen one, but I'm hoping they are all in that group support kind of category. And you can see something that is like a heavy front-loaded, like crack shot style, crack swarm, like snowbally list, but with the same 6 vultures around 2 Bulbasaurs, you change out those tactical relays and you change what Vulture droids you're bringing. And now you have a very different style list. Maybe this one gets better access to barrel roll or boost, and they're more maneuverable. So now they get into places that they aren't normally seen, that kind of a thing, right? So you still have the same 2 ships that are filling out 8 slots, but they play completely differently. And it's just based on the upgrade cards that they have. So that's my hope. That's what I think out of this.
So
and with the Sith infiltrators, who knows? Like, who knows what they're going to bring to the table and what they're going to be doing the whole time.
So of the Bulbasaurs, right? I actually do think you and I disagreed on this. I actually think that Watt Tombor is actually pretty good, even though he's only initiative 3. I think that it's like a weird combo of Jess and Blount that you're getting. Like, you're getting the action efficiency of a target lock so long as you have ships at range 1, which seems imminently likely for a swarm like that.
Yeah, for sure. Like, so I think he will be good for the offensive output. Like, he's just like Jess. He's getting double modded shots, that kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. My thought, though, is I would just rather have Captain Seer, who is making all of those bullseye arcs just even more deadly, right? He's giving you crack shot if you have a bullseye arc on someone. And we've already talked about how with Kraken, like, my crack shot precise vultures, I think they are precise droids or whatever, that get free predator. So if you're in their bullseye arc, they just get free rerolls. All right, cool. And now if you're in the bullseye arc, they can spend 1 of their 2 calculates on the engage. to crackshot you, and then they also have their calculate and a friend's calculate to make sure that they have offensive mods and survive to get to PS3 to shoot, or init 3. You know what I mean?
So what do you think these things are going to cost? Because these have like X-Wing-like, they're X-Wing-like stats, but in reality, I think their action bar is a little bit better, right?
The Bulbasaur's?
Yeah.
Oh, they have Fang Fighter. Like, I mean, it's identical to the Fang Fighter, right? Like, it's focus, target lock, and then barrel roll or boost into focus.
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
So that's a good action bar. Their dial's really good. They're fast. They don't have the two turns that are green, which kind of limits them.
Blue but, nowadays.
Yeah, sure, blue. And I guess the three turns are red. Like, okay, but they still have the five straight. They still got the four straight. Those are both white. They've got all the ones. So are they've got the one hards and the one banks. So they can kind of mix it up there. I don't look at them and think of them as my main fighter. I think of having the giant fleet of vulture droids in the front. That's my main fighter, right? Like that's what I care about.
Mm-hmm.
I have these guys are just sitting in the back providing these tactical relays to make everybody better.
Mm-hmm.
As well as their
pilot. Three dice attacks, right? I mean, that's
yeah. I mean, that's nothing to sneeze at. Yeah, no,
that's gonna be your best attack in your swarm.
Oh no, because my precise hunters are gonna have the plasma missiles that they bring.
Uh huh.
So they're what are they called? Energy something or others.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the unique.
Energy shell charges. Yeah, the separatist. Yeah. I guess it's separatist only. So, but you have to have calculate. So I think it's probably only vulture. It's a missile slot. So they'll have three die attacks as well.
Yeah, I'm actually like when I was looking at the stat bar, like you said, Ricky, it's basically just one whole shy of an X-wing with a, you know, a better action bar.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm not sure if you'll be able to kind of squeeze 2+6 in there. You might end up with 1+6 or 2+. The you know maybe you got 5 vulture droids or something like. I don't see an 8 ships. You know, list when you've got 2 borderline just poor man's X-Wings in terms of a hit points plus six other
I
ships
really
out
hope
there.
We can see a serious, legitimate 8 ship list. I think that'll be fun.
I mean, if it's 7, okay. You know what I mean? Like,
that's I do too. I just don't think you're going to see it with 2 of these. I think you'll maybe see it with 1 of these and maybe 7, you know, vulture droids or something like that. But,
well, no, but I mean, like, realistically, like, so I think these are going to be, I mean, what's an X-Wing cost?
41, sad.
Yeah, okay. So you have 2 41-point ships, right? So, sure, they're going to be roughly 50 for the named guys with an upgrade on them. But then that's like, they just have the, like, I would not be surprised if these vulture droids are in the 16 to 18-point category. Like, they're not good base. They need all their other stuff to make them better.
Right. I think they're, my thought was they're probably going to be somewhere around 20. So I think maybe 2.
I mean,
plus
I don't
five,
know how
you. You know?
I don't know how you can take an init 1 ship at 20 points that is just fundamentally worse than a TIE fighter across the board by a large margin.
But what I'm saying is, I think we've had the discussion before where when you're balancing across faction, your points aren't necessarily overall. It's in the faction. So the question is,
I mean,
are you going to take?
Sure.
You know,
but there's still a base formula that's like an efficiency formula. Like that's because you have the init one that doesn't have any pilot abilities, right? Like that guy's going to be cheap. He's going to be real cheap because he's not good.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be, though, if you're talking about them between the factions. They don't actually have to be the same formula. They tend to be, but they don't have to be.
I mean, yes, we don't know exactly how they point stuff out, but like it's mostly that mostly holds true. Like the only thing we don't see right now is because the Resistance and First Order points have been released that are probably not changing much on the 28th versus the original 3 factions are going to change, obviously. So you can kind of make that with like the A-Wings being cheap and better than Rebel A-Wings. We'll probably get an A-Wing price decrease. Okay.
Hopefully. That'd be great. Although the new A-Wings are like legitimately fun.
Yeah.
So do you guys think that Grievous will be actually good at all? Like how many another to his collection are we going to be adding in the competitive game?
Grievous is terrible. Like I don't think you'll ever see him.
Yeah, I don't.
Like, I mean, so you. I take that back. you might see him in some like weird, like a Grievous plus two synth infiltrator kind of things. I don't think he's going to be seen with vulture droids and like doing that style of fighting.
Mm-hmm.
So. The only situation that I could see it is if it's a situation where, like when we're talking about point costs and you find out that he's actually very efficiently point costed for what you're getting at a nit four. The other interesting thing, with, let's say you can get that eight ship situation out there.
Yep.
This is a unique concept because with eight ships, when you're battling like supernatural reflexes, aces, like something like Kylo or Luke or, you know, the Aether Sprites, which I'm sure are going to be out there in abundance. When you have eight ships, you kind of do have the beef to kind of block up a good portion of those, you know, spots, and you might end up getting a situation where maybe your mass of six vulture droids is what you throw in a general direction at one of these guys and just really clog things up. And then maybe when you get those higher initiative things off the board that way, then Grievous can go play. I don't know. I guess we'll see. I think he's probably going to have to be pretty efficiently costed to see any type of table time, but we'll wait to see what those magical point costs are.
Yeah, that's the thing I keep thinking, is he and Watt's ability are, to me, the exact same. You're getting rerolls. So he has to, his initiative four has to be significantly better. And I'm not sure that four and three are really altogether all that different, right?
They're not. Well, but he needs to be able to outfly things, and there's just too much that's incredibly mobile at five and six.
Yeah. The defender's firing arc is actually worse than just having, you know, your swarm at range one of whatever you're shooting.
Right. That's infinitely easier, right? Like, oh, that's all I have to do? Okay, cool. I'll just go do that. That seems easy. So one thing that I will point out is we have Darth Maul in at five, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's where he's at with 3/4. I feel like we saw his card somewhere.
Yeah, with 3/4.
Yeah, there he is, Darth Maul. Yeah. So he is a nit five, but if you look at the card spread, like the next initiative down is threes. Like we don't see an init six anywhere out of these guys. And that Sith Infiltrator also doesn't have access to coordinate. So it doesn't have coordinate on the bar. So getting Grievous like a coordinate buddy like Null or somebody cheap like that, like they just don't have access to it. Right? Because like Maul's going to obviously have a force talent spot, so he's not going to be able to take it. So you might see it on the other Bulbasaur, but even then you're coordinating a four, so you're not going to be able to barrel roll to get arcs, basically.
Yeah, but they might be a faction that doesn't have a pilot skill six or initiative six.
I mean, they might be, yeah. I don't, that would be sad if they did, but yeah.
I would not be sad at all. I want to fly them for the swarm. I don't care about their ability to be an ace.
Like ace mini swarm is a cool concept, right? Like that's where I also like the idea of their vulture droids being very cheap, like 16 to 18 points, because then like I can bring an ace that is like your Soontrafel style ace that's going to be like, or your Fenrau maybe a better idea in that 60 to 70 point range, and then I can fill it out with six just crap vulture droids to get in the way, right? So I think that would be a cool concept. I just don't think we have that yet.
I think just from a faction identity standpoint, I'm not quite sure if them getting a six. At least in my opinion, I think that's what I wouldn't want to see, because I think I like the idea of these guys feeling very unique faction wise in that they are the, you know, you potentially can have those eight ships and it's just swarming hive minded, you know, droid fighters with a couple little, you know, named guys kind of in support, where you can maybe go that Darth Maul route at the five.
Sure. Would highly expect to see them to get a six with the Tri-Wings, and that should probably be on wave four would be my guess.
That was actually what I was going to say next, is like there are still maybe one or two ships that could come up that you might see that init six with, you know, some of the fancy stuff there. So we will see, but I think I really want to see this faction, just for the state of the game and what it's doing, to really be that niche faction of like, hey, you want to swarm? Well, here's these hive minded droids. You know, you can super swarm these guys. And then if you want to play that ace plus swarm, well, I mean, that's kind of what Empire does, right? So
yeah, that's the one. That's the one. Yeah, okay.
So you can.
I don't believe you. It's never been good.
We haven't seen the points, you know, adjustment yet. But so your point is valid. But who knows? Like in the end, like if the droid swarm is the best swarm, then what the hell is the TIE swarm, right? That's certainly there.
So in theory, like I still like my 6-pack TIE swarm the best as far as like TIE swarm. And so that's actually a cool interaction, right? Because you would have this droid swarm that has these crack shot abilities, these extra rerolls, and this ability to like shift all your calculates around and like to stop crits coming in. But if you run into the 6-pack TIE swarm and you joust it, I'm killing probably 3 of your vulture droids before you fire at me because I'm shooting you all at an at 5 and 4.
Yeah.
Right. So it's, you know what I mean? Like, so I have the better initiative gunning swarm, but I might not have the best overall damage. I might get jammed easier, that kind of stuff. Right. So.
Yeah. I hope that I'm with Will that I kind of like the idea that they don't get an initiative 6, I like thematic factions, or at least I like theme lists. Even if, you know, you mostly don't get to see those competitively. But I mean, like, I like the idea that the factions feel like they play a certain way, that they act a certain way, they have personality to them, and it's not just you're playing, you know, this list that has, like, I want a list of feel Imperial, feel Rebel.
Sure.
You know, like, I just think that's good. It's good for the game to have things feel a certain way. I think that something that Magic does really well is that obviously the colors feel like they play a certain way at this point. And when you play a blue or a red, you know what you're doing, and you know, like, kind of inherently what those stylists do. I think that's kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, I'm very much in for them having a good identity as a specific thing. Like, and that's, I'm cool with that.
I will make
you just caveat. Want that identity to include a pilot skill 6 or initiative 6
yeah.
Ship on the in the Separatist side.
I will leave this caveat. If their pilot skill 6 is named like Grandpapa Talonbane or something, I will concede that is fine. Just because Talonbane got knocked down to a 5.
Right.
Probably rightfully so. So I want to see like the real original Talonbane pop back up as a 6, and he just becomes a cis pilot for some stupid reason because they don't have anyone else to give him thematically a 6.
Yeah, I'm thinking to myself who counts for a 6, but I don't actually know prequel.
Well, I don't know the tri. I didn't read any of the books or play the games that have the tri wings in them.
Right,
I know the tri wing is like the pinnacle of their abilities.
Right. Yeah. I have no idea. I was just like. That was also going through my head. I'm like, thematically, who the hell would be their 6? Like, they're just a bunch of droids. So I guess we'll see.
Droids and, like, I mean, let's be fair. Like, Grievous is on there. I guess it's like a bunch of, like, evil force users. I don't know. Robots and evil force users. Good job. I don't know. Is there anything else that we want to talk about from the news article that we haven't mentioned?
I don't think so. Seize the Galaxy, blah, blah, blah.
One thing real quick that I mean, I don't think we really touched on it, but like the vulture droids, their dial is fairly interesting.
Yeah, we've talked about it before, but still, again, you're absolutely right. They've got a weird freaking dial.
And that's without even touching on the grappling struts for the asteroids and debris and stuff. So, I mean, they've got a 1 talon roll. That alone is kind of crazy. And then they've got access to a lot of very tight knife fighting kind of things to really get in on something.
No, they have a 1K turn. They've got 2 talon rolls.
So, oh, sorry. Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah, the 2 talon rolls. 1K
so
turn.
Let's talk about, just in case, like, people who are, you know, haven't, you know, heard the announcement yet. Grappling struts effectively let 2 droids grapple onto an asteroid and then start either
or debris cloud.
Yeah, and then the idea is that they can zero stop or 90 degree turn if they want to.
Yep. Or yeah, they're just they actually land on the rock. So they touch down, they just sit there, and they just kind of become a turret.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also kind of why I like the idea of bringing, you know, 5 or 6 generic vulture droids and then like an ace pilot, because they're going to get in there and mix it up. And that includes just like, oh, hey,
they're just going to create on the, no fly zones. Like, here you go. You've got to, here's where you can't be, or I'll take some free shots at you.
Yep.
That's nice.
Yeah, it is. It's very unique. And I think it's going to make for some interesting board states where, you know, usually in games of X-Wing, especially we've been playing a lot of, you know, things through first edition and now early second edition, the factions, they do have their own little, you know, kind of identities going on. But for the most part, ships across the table from you, you know, they behave more or less like you would expect because you're familiar with everything we've seen. This is completely new because these ships weren't in first edition. And not only that, they've got these unique mechanics. So it is definitely going to feel like a brand new kind of experience when you're seeing these across.
How much do you guys think the grappling struts are going to cost?
So I don't know. So that's another thing that's cool is like, right? Like, so if my basic trade
federation.
Yeah, Trade Federation something or other Vulture Droid. If he's 16 points, like I like it at 4 points, make him 20 for a 20, maybe even 22 if they're, 6 points or 18 and 4. Because, like, if you could do 6 Vultures at 120 and then, like, an 80-point ace ship of some kind, like, I'm in, okay? Or, yeah, you know, or you do 5 of them at 100 and you've got 100 points for Kylo, or not Kylo, Darth Maul. That's not really as much of an ace ship, but it's more of a brawly ship.
Right. The interesting thing with this is just from a sheer putting, you know, let's say you've got that swarm of 6 of them out there. Mm-hmm. You got your debris, an asteroid, you know, cluster, you know, in the middle of the field or however it is on the play area. As an opponent, if you're staring that down and you've got your swarm all kind of converging in this area, and you look at how many obstacles that they're somewhat near or they could reach with their dial. Let's see what the furthest they could go. 3 straight? No, they got 4 and 5 straight.
Yeah, they got 4 and 5. Yeah.
So they could really do something kind of out of quote-unquote left field and just dive right for that center asteroid and park on it. Or they could slow roll as best they can. Or, you know, there's all this different guessing game that you can do as an opponent. Like, well, where are they going to go? Are they going to try and do the park these 2 on that rock, that 2 on that rock? Are they going to just cluster everything up and just do traditional bump and grind, you know, close quarter knife fighting with all the calculate sharing? That's a lot of fun decision-making that as both a player of the list and, you know, counterplay to it, that's going to be interesting to kind of go through those, you know, scenarios. So I am looking forward to seeing these on the table just for that reason alone. I'm kind of with you, Ricky. The prequels are, you know, they are what they are. But yeah, the game, I think it's good. It's going
to
be a good
thing. The way the ships fly is incredibly interesting to me. Like, just from like a thought experiment, like you're saying, like, do I jump in? Do I want to play turrets? Do I want to do efficiency with like a swarm and do blocks and stuff? I don't know. That's great.
And it's like I said before at the start of this, when we were talking, this allows having, I mean, we're talking about 3 ships and these are very different styles of lists. They play very differently. They do different things. Right. And it's all because of a couple upgrade cards. Like, hey, I got a couple things that I can change out and now they're totally different ships. Also with the landing struts, like that totally changes your turn 0 play style, right? Like, do you now take 2 big rocks and put them rough? Like, you don't corner it, but you put it like range 2 from your deployment and you put 2 of them just range 1 of each other. So that way you've got like a spot where you can put 4 vultures and they've just got like a whole big broad area covered and then just kind of get to hang out.
Is that fortressing?
Well, no, cause they're not bumping each other.
All right.
And you're setting a dial and technically.
Sure. No, yep, sure, man. Yeah, that's not fortressing.
But it also has cool counterplay, right? Like, that might see an uptick on bringing seismic charges. Like, oh, hey, is there a bunch of Confederacy players out there? And are they, you know, landing on all the rocks? And they're setting up these weird, but like, okay, I'm going to take some trajectory simulator seismic charges. I'm just blowing up all the rocks. Like, you don't get rocks to play with.
Yeah, also, you're on that rock. It's going to explode.
Yeah, sure, it's right. Like, are you sure you want to land on that, buddy?
With only 3 hull to begin with.
Yeah, that seems like a bigger counter than even Proton. Like, just like, screw you. Like, you can't even pull your shenanigans Right. And you're on the rocks, so you better run.
And that's a huge blast radius, too, with that seismic charge. So if you've got anything trying to get that stuff up, you drop a seismic charge. All of them are taking, you know, a third of their health.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Although I do have to say that kind of irks me a little bit because that kind of encourages trajectory simulator, you know, bombers.
Well, I mean, but even if it's even if they're not trajectory simulator, even if they're just like so, one of the things that I really like is strikers with seismic charges because they can get to unique places to drop seismic charges to take out rocks, right? So if you have one striker with a seismic charge at what 37 points presently. You can put two of your rocks on your board edge and they can blow up both of them like on the first two turns of the game, basically. And now you have a huge open area that, okay, if you want your vultures, you've got to come fight me over here because I don't need to go over there.
And that's where you can really start picking them off one by one because they're only three hull and two agility.
Yeah, exactly. So like even without trajectory simulator, there's a lot of cool counterplay to that kind of stuff. I mean, we already see an uptick in Trickshot and the Outrider title for Dash. So you might start seeing more seismic charge usage just to deal with that stuff.
If they can take Illicits and Dead Man Switch, I'm in.
Right? Yeah, if only. Who knows? Maybe they can. I don't know. I don't know how the Trade Federation. Well, and we have Buzz Droids. We don't know what they do or how they work, but we see the token for them in the pack. So.
Oh my god.
I may refuse to play those just out of principle. That just bothers my brain.
I think that covers for it for robots.
All right.
I'm excited for it at the very least. I'm buying in. And so I'll show up to it might only be for like local league nights or maybe whatever the store championship is now called, hyperspace something or other nonsense. I might bring, you know, that to one of those just to have fun with.
Oh, I'm going to be trying to fly it, try and fly in with an 8-ship if I can do it. I'm going to see if it works. I miss doing 8-ship TIE Swarms. That was fun. Like, so if that could be good, I at least want to see. That's like my biggest problem with X-Wing is I have like so many ships that I have to fly.
There's too many things you want to try out.
And I do not have the time for it. It's just so sad. All right, so let's move on to the list.
Hey, you had a child. You knew this was going to happen.
Yeah, I played myself. So let's move on to the list contest. Our contest was called out by Biophysical, who was on last episode. It was an Imperial list that didn't include Darth Vader, Howlrunner, or Iden, which is, you know, a little rough. But Jake Sheely was up to the task, and how about this list, guys? So Major Bermeal with Tech Officer and ISB Slicer, Pierce Abak with Shield Upgrade and Crackshot, Gideon, Mauler with Swarm Tactics, and Tactics, and Wampa. Just a bunch of attack dice efficiency with the Empire. I mean, it's okay, right? I actually like that. I think I could make that work. But again, I've also, you know, fully defeated in the Aces.
there's some interesting space with the ISB Slicer and Major Vermeil. Mm-hmm. Getting in, jamming things, and then keeping that jam token around.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in for that.
And the rest of the lists are like try and punch above your weight style ships.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's more like a matter of like, I mean, I'm sure you can like absolutely like do a little bit of damage with that.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I've already professed my love. Like Wampa as a 30-point ship is fairly solid. I'd kind of be interested to see very similar concept, but you know, seeing what other, you know, name strikers you could get with maybe a combination of throw Wampa in there is that 30-point filler.
Yeah,
too.
It seems like Duchess is something that you should be running if you can.
Duchess is real good.
Yeah.
Like I kind of want to check to see what the price points are on the three name strikers here.
So, but I get the Pierce of Back for doing a little bit more damage, etc. Anyway, so. Good job, Jake. We'll hit you up and get you some prizes. As a heads up, we have been trying to clear our backlog of prizes, so I've emailed out everybody who has prizes out. Please email me back because we're trying to get you prizes at your local game stores. We always like to purchase from local game stores. That way we can support them and get you prizes that are close to you at the same time. So
yeah,
please hit us back up.
We save on shipping and we get to support your community.
Yep, 100%. Really cool. Guys, let's do, we got to do a contest because I feel weird not doing one. What should we do for a contest this week?
So I saw this somewhere else and I like it. I want to see, so this is a, like an actual contest. So give us the best list that you can, all five factions or all three original factions, not the two new ones. Cause I don't think their points are going to change, but I want the list to be points legal with the current point system and the next point, like after the points adjustments. Right.
Holy cow. So literally you've got to guess a list. So the list has to work now and then. Is that what you're saying, Tyler?
What's that now? Sorry.
The list has to be points legal now and after the points change.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like it needs to be under 200 points for both.
So I'm guessing that means don't expect Whisper to go down in points.
Yes, that is a true statement.
Awesome. Okay, so I guess is that you're guessing a list that's going to be legal after the
points. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'm into it. Send it to scumandvillainpodcast@gmail.com.
You've got a lot of opening with that, right? Obviously, like there's you can do lots of things. Y'all figure it out.
All right, so all right, let's start wrapping a bow on this thing, fellas. We've got just a little bit of time left before Tyler turns into a pumpkin. Can I ask you guys? This is a little off topic. We'll do like as we're wrapping a bow on this. What games have you guys been playing outside of X-Wing right now?
Like just in general?
Just in general.
Super Smash Brothers Ultimate.
All right, so let's talk about that. I mean, like, okay. I don't want to turn into the crates, but fellas, like, I love that series. I've played every single one.
I think I own all of them. I'm not 100%, but I own every Nintendo console, and I can't imagine I have one in Smash. So,
how's the new version? Everybody seems to like it.
Yeah, I'm having a lot of fun.
Who's the character you're playing?
So. I'm like a Captain Falcon main from like OG Smash.
Yeah, yeah. I've been playing Fox since the original.
Yeah, right. So with that, I've been playing Ganondorf because he's just heavy Captain Falcon.
Yeah.
Recently I picked up Bowser. Because like at my skill level, I've noticed that I'm just better with heavies, right? I don't have as much precision that I need to worry about. I can take more damage. I hit harder.
I switched to Ike a couple, like two series ago because of the same reason. It's just like, he's fast enough as a heavy.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think he's a heavy now anymore, but.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, he might be like yes. So that's kind of been what I've been doing lately. And then obviously I still play volleyball. So that takes up the most amount of my time.
Yeah, that's
we just put a team together to go to Chicago the week before Arizona, so like not this weekend but next weekend. And our team name is the Legend of the Hidden Temple, and we each have like one of the old teams from Legends of the Hidden Temple. So, like I'm the green monkeys, and we got the silver serpents and the blue barracudas. So
that's amazing. Yeah. What have you been playing outside of X-Wing?
I've got a huge backlog on my PS4. So I, over the holiday break, I actually got around to popping in Alien Isolation. So I've been playing that a little bit. I am excited for Ace Combat 7. I think it's like next week.
I like any sort of flight simulator style, like a list, like or a game like that. Oh man, that's serious. That's coming out on PlayStation?
Yeah, PS4. Oh. It's the first like VR, like PS4 capable game that I think I've seen that actually looks like it'd be fun to me. Just to kind of get that experience of like being in a cockpit kind of thing.
Oh man, Will, have I told you about how I've got a Vive for Elite Dangerous? My spaceship simulator. Oh my god, it's so amazing. Like you're in the cockpit in space. Like going into hyperspace and stuff, it's freaking great. And you can get into dogfights with the That style, it's like with like 3D, like physics, dogfighting. Oh my god.
Wow. Okay, that does sound cool. Yeah, but usually like VR stuff kind of make, you know, gets me motion sick. I've got two different kind of prescriptions in each eye, so it makes it a little bit hard to get things focused and, you know, really feeling right. But I am actually intrigued enough that I might, you know, maybe pick up a PlayStation VR just to try it out.
I do think it's easier with like in a cockpit situation, like where you're not moving, but your ship is moving.
Exactly. That's always been my problem with seeing anything like, you know, like Skyrim VR, any of those games. I'm like, but how does that even really put you in the experience, right? Other than you're able to like move your head around and be like, oh wow, there's a dragon there.
Yeah.
If you're in like a mech or you know, a cockpit of a ship or something else that is moving, yeah, you can definitely get a little bit more of that immersion because you're still sitting on your couch or wherever you're at. Mm-hmm. And now you're still in that, you know, kind of immersed in that situation.
Couch, so. Filthy casual. You mean custom-made battle pod.
Tyler, sure. Like, I honest to God fantasize about doing that with Elite Dangerous. No joke.
Yeah.
I have, like, when I get full on into it, like, I have a buddy of mine who gave me a couple of, like, he's, like, a super serious flight sim guy. And so, like, the stuff that he got that are, like, his throwaway stuff, he's like, do you want this? And it's, like, a $40 accessory for flight sims. I'm like, yeah, hook me up, fam. So I've got that set up, like, as in, like a completely low-rent, like, sim pit. And, so I do dream about being a big boy and having a nice one someday. I don't even care. Like, a battle pod for a mech. Like making your own like mech cockpit. That sounds great.
Well, yeah. So basically you'll be a full light stopping like cockpit that I would have all of my input components would be exact spaced to what the VR looks like in the cockpit. Right.
Yeah.
So I'm
playing two games. I'm playing Elite again. I'm going to start picking up, with the new expansion that's out, that they do a bunch of new mission types and stuff. So if anybody plays Elite, hit us up in the Discord or hit us up in an email. Maybe you can play with me and some other people. I'm also playing Warhammer Total War. I played with Blair this last weekend, and Warhammer Total War is great. I don't know if you guys have played that.
Yeah, I have. I have the first one. I didn't get the second one, but I played a lot of it. I like it.
Hey, me and Blair are playing. And Greg, Matt Erb, we've all been playing like some multiplayer. It's pretty good.
Nice.
Like, because you've played Warhammer Fantasy, haven't you?
Yeah.
So, thing I like about, have you played any, obviously, Warhammer, Total War, right? So, I think Warhammer and Total War are such a good combo for each
other. Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%.
Yeah, it's like, because Total War has like really good RTS combat, but the units are only so interesting. Like there's only so much infantry, cavalry, spearmen, and artillery you can do in cavalry, right? But so Total War has completely different races and goddamn monsters.
Oh yeah. So I mean, I play vampire accounts
and freaking magic and stuff, right?
Yeah. Well, so I played like vampire accounts almost exclusively, and like they have no ranged weapons. Like they have no archers, they have no artillery. They don't like, so you have to play around that fact that you can be running into dwarves that have all ranged weapons, right? Like
they have a
freaking cannon line and a gun line, right? So what do you do to deal with it? Okay, go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so but the thing is that Warhammer Fantasy, like Warhammer 40 or Fantasy, is like such a, because you've played 40K too. Like it's like it takes a long time. Its rules are semi arcane, and it's just a very clunky, expensive game, right? Like,
It's expensive. Really, yeah, I don't know as I would say it's as clunky as you're making it out to be, other than buckets of dice. But yeah.
I mean, but overall, like, it's, you've got to learn the system. It's not it's not as intuitive as goddamn Total War, right? Like Total War makes sense as like these are the styles of units these are. It's easily communicated, and you can do it in real time. So those two together, I think, is a really, really great combo. So
yeah. So I mean, that's any video game that takes a board game style franchise or a minis games franchise, right? Like, you can eliminate all of the, okay, I have to roll 40d6 to hit you. Okay, 20 of them hit. Now I have to roll 20d6 to wound you, right? Like, it just happens for you.
It's absolutely a really good strength on strength, though. And this,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is like, yeah, that is a positive, right? Like, I don't have to know any of that information. I just need to know, you know, just like, hey, spears are good into cavalry. Okay, cool. I don't need to know what the ratio is, all that kind of nonsense.
Well, if you feel like picking up two and getting curb stomped by some high elves, just let me know. Sure. Yeah,
you would be a filthy high elf player. I say that as an exclusive dark elf player in
fantasy. Oh. Hey, FYI, the high elves I think are good, but I think the dark elves are better in Total War II. Like, they've got some incredibly fun units. They're like they're like less range than high elves, but they have like a bunch more dirty tricks.
Oh well, I mean, yes.
Yeah, and I think their infantry units are just better. Anyway, so there you go. Dark elves are in too. All right, so I'm going to throw that down. Anyways, do we have any shout-outs that we want to do? I just wanted to talk to you guys about games for a half second, see what you guys are up to.
Yeah, so I am good.
I'm going to shout-out the people's champion, Morgan Reed, undefeated in the Aces League.
As you should.
Yeah,
I was going to do the same thing, just because I'm like, hey, thanks, Morgan, for putting up with my my modem bullshit.
he used his dark underworld Australian powers to make my Boba Fett die real quick.
He just like looked at the dice and they decided to be blanks in fear.
Think maybe my modem was just afraid of Morgan. Just decided to be like, nope, peace, I'm out of here.
Yep. But I was just afraid of Morgan. I'm not even going to blame anything else. I was the one making bad. He blocked. God bless. Guys, this is the kind of dumb. I'm still salty about this, clearly. But like, he has like his PS1 guy, right? And I flew in a freaking brick. And I thought that would go well.
So like that was your takeaway from that one, right?
No joke. Like, that was my takeaway, is like, when they've got a blocker, I've got to maybe spread out a little bit, because I like to do up close so I can control, like, I can make really dangerous firing zones.
Yeah.
And no, so I get it. I was doing stuff that like that against him, but I didn't have my actions because I was getting blocked up. And it's just like, I don't have to do that. And that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. Like, that was the mistake. The rest of the game, like, I got 104 points on him. No, I got 96 points on him. So, like, I got him to half points even after just getting completely outplayed in the opening engagements. And it's like, I did that to myself. No one else to blame for that other than my turn zero setup was not as smart as it could have been. I'm not saying I would have won that game, but it would have been a lot closer had I just not done that one dumb thing. Ugh, okay, gone too deep. Anyways, shout out to Morgan. You're really good at X-Wing, and I don't like that guy's got. He's got a life. He's the man. All right. Otherwise, I guess let's wrap up on this thing for Tyler Tippett, better known as Starslinger72, and for Bob Yarnacle, better known as misspelled Will Walton Barnacle. My name is Richard White, better known as Calvin Tiberius. Thank you. Back to Colinette. Tyler, I'm looking at your dark elves. I'm telling you, man, let's throw down. I'm ready.